Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the South Florida High School Sports Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
And that is us for a Monday evening. Thank you so much, and welcome in. Larry Bluestein with you up until 10 o'clock. I'll tell you what, we were just talking, man. He was running down the guest list for tonight. And if you were with us just a little while ago with Alex Dono, we ran down all the teams that Manny likes. One of them is FSU, and that will be a guest that we'll have on at 9:45. We welcome you aboard. 2 weeks away, just 2 weeks away from the second part of National Signing Day. Believe it or not, there are a lot of guys out there still that haven't. They've committed, but they haven't signed on the dotted line. So we're excited about that. We're going to have some coverage for you on that Wednesday as well. You know, our morning cut-ins with Joe Rose, and obviously with throughout the day, we'll get in there with Crowder, Hockman, and Crowder. We'll talk a little bit at night with Alex. So we'll have a lot of things going on. Let you know how Miami's class ended up. I mean, we know how it's probably 85% already come together. But tonight we'll learn a little bit more. FSU, that was the school. Remember, we said every year there's always going to be coaching changes. And when there is coaching changes, there's that recruiting shuffle that goes on, especially when an entirely new staff comes in. Then you have to fill coordinators. So everyone, you know, so the kids that you're recruiting will have a little bit of idea, like Joe Smith. Well, let's look and see how Joe did when he was at Clemson. Okay, I like the offense. I like the defense. So at least you have something to go with, but you're kind of behind the eight ball, and that's what Willie Taggart and his staff have been doing. Danny Mullen in the same way, but although a little bit more familiarity with the people, with the area, because he was there before. And then obviously now at UCF, with Josh Heupel doing that as well. I saw their coaches, you know, but they do have like that championship belt to parade around with them. You know, it's not like they're coming in empty, so it's that's a good thing. And certainly everywhere else, USF doing extremely well, with a lot of the kids, as we told you. So we're going to have Chris Nee on about 9:45. We'll talk about Florida State, how they're doing, how they're closing on some of those kids come 2 weeks from Wednesday. We'll find that out. 9:30, we'll talk to Sly Johnson from Premier Athletes. You know, we have him on a couple times a year. He's the one that runs these showcases throughout the year, teaching these kids how to play the position, you know. I mean, how to play wide receiver, how to play DB, and he's awesome at it. Former Miami of Ohio football player from South Florida, Miramar guy. So we're going to talk to him at 9:30. Some of the rising stars that he has. He's told us about Daniel Braverman in the past and a bunch of other kids that are doing extremely well at college and getting ready to go to the NFL. So we'll talk to him at 9:30. At 9:20, Cameron Williams from Chaminade Madonna. He just recently decommitted from the University of Florida, and then he committed to the University of Miami. So we'll and he's a 2019 player, so that kind of like keeps that 2019 class in perspective. But, we've kind of shifted our attention from the pads and the helmets to 7-on-7, which is going on around the country for the next, I guess, 6, 7, 8 months, right up until the summer football, because right after spring you still have a couple of team events that go on. But this weekend kind of kicks it off here in the state of Florida. Orlando Pylon 7-on-7 is having a great event. 10 out-of-state teams, all the teams you know from down here, the Express, as we had on last week, and the Fire, and Strong Arm, and a lot of those programs like that. So a lot of talent up there in Orlando, and somebody who's been on top of this for a lot of years, and he's got the ball rolling now. He knows a lot about the sport, the people in it. He's Josh Bourne, and he joins us this evening. Josh, thanks so much for taking the time. Big event this weekend.
Yes, sir, Larry. I appreciate you bringing me on again. Thank you for always being there and supporting all the athletes as you've done for so many years. And we appreciate you taking some time.
Any time. And this is important because Pylon has established itself as the premier leader in 7-on-7 events all over the country, recognizable, by the logo, by the people that work for it. But this, whenever you have it in Florida, you know as well as I do, because you live here, what type of athletes we have, what type of teams we have. There's always that, they're so competitive in everything. Just to get the first in line to get gas, they're competitive. So you take a look at these kids coming into an environment, the first event of the year. Everybody wants to establish himself. Talk about this event coming up and some of the star quality people that we're going to see.
Sure. We've got, as you alluded to, there is teams coming in from 10 different states, as far as Washington State, Virginia, Michigan, Texas. We've had two events already this year, one in Dallas and one in Los Angeles, and actually the champions from both of those events, Team Texas Swoosh and the team out of L.A., Zorts, will be in attendance this weekend in Orlando. So really excited to see all of these teams line up. Great opportunity to see out-of-state talent get to come in and play some Florida teams. And as you said, a lot of great athletes in the state of Florida. Lots of alumni have played in these events, and the circuit's really coming along well on a national level, and athletes are getting to develop their craft. And you can see it showcased on Saturday and Sundays now.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but that's exactly what I was going to say. We have a lot of listeners who, they are not probably grasping what 7-on-7 does. I mean, it's not replacing football. It's not doing this. What it has become is, like you said, an enhancement. It gives the quarterbacks, receivers, defensive backs, and, some of these, kids who are kind of hybrid type of players an opportunity to work, against some of the top athletes in the country who do it so well. And that gets them to that next level. That gets them noticed. So when they go in the spring and put on pads, you almost have the entire thing mapped out right for you.
Absolutely. Seeing a lot of athletes use the springtime exposure as a pivot to bigger and better opportunities, not just off the field with college scholarships, but on the field, getting an idea of how you compare with other top talent from other cities. And it just can be eye-opening for athletes to see, okay, nobody knows who I am. I don't have any stars. I'm out here competing every day. And they come out to an event and get to line up against Breon Fuller or one of these other Keem Dent and do a good job. So it gives them some self-confidence as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Josh Bourne joining us, Pylon 7-on-7. The first tournament for our guys will be this week. They've had 2 weeks of it already. It's in Orlando. And certainly, when you have it in that, kind of in an Orlando area, you get those guys, that wouldn't come down to South Florida necessarily. Not so much from Florida, but you mentioned some out-of-state teams, I'm sure. The popularity, Josh, of this thing has been it's crazy. I mean, it's like it is, I guess, AAU, what AAU basketball was, because I was in the softball a long time. So with that travel softball, that same type of where you don't necessarily have the same, the kids who play for your high school team on the same team. So it's more of a travel, get a chance to work with and play with some of the top kids in the country. And you've seen it unfold. You've been around this for a while to see what benefits since it has, and as you alluded to, certainly it helps you know, maybe define a kid and say, hey, this kid's got some great hands. I can't wait to see him put on some pads. What do you think about that? You know, as far as like you just said, for some of those college coaches to view just the athleticism. If somebody takes a photo, and we've seen how many times have you been at events where somebody has filmed something. The thing that comes to my mind is Emmanuel Green, when Josh Darrow actually shot the photo of him and it went so viral, he faked out like a bunch of kids, and that was a 7-on-7 environment. So those things really help, don't they?
Absolutely. Obviously, getting out and competing is beneficial. The platform of 7-on-7s really evolved as an exposure piece, and so being able to have athletes line up against each other from different markets, different star ratings, and different skill sets. And anytime you can capture that and get it online and have media analysts out there, all of whom have relationships with college coaches and various scouts and you know, guys like Fish that come out and build scouting databases on a lot of the athletes. And
sure.
So there's a lot of community involved, right? It's the football community,
sure,
that makes up the events. The coaching staff of the 7-on-7 teams are all very diverse. It's either high school coaches, former college or NFL athletes, speed trainers, different guys in communities coming together and putting together a good team. So I'd say that we're getting to a point where the sport is growing rapidly, just as a sport itself. 7-on-7 football, it's fun to play in the spring, but it's also at a point where we can start filming all of these games and breaking them down and allowing coaches to use that for teaching and various instruction as well as scouting. So we can keep that going is the plan, obviously.
Yeah, good stuff. Josh, in closing, because I know everybody's going to want to, you know, they're probably driving and they didn't digest everything 100%. But for them to get in touch through a website or through you, how would they do that just so they could find out some more information, not only on this weekend, but maybe some future events?
Sure. Our site is pylonfootball.com, pylonfootball.com. And all of our events are listed there for anybody to see around the country. Our national championship series kicks off, and we already started in Dallas and then LA, and now we're in Orlando. Next weekend we'll be in Nashville inside Tennessee Titans Stadium.
Wow.
Another great event in that market there, followed by Chicago. And then we've got a big one in Las Vegas. Last year we had about 200 teams out there. It was about 4,000 athletes, nation's top, competing. So big camp. And we'll wrap up with our national championship. The last 3 years have been inside of AT&T Stadium there in Dallas. Nice. So we will have where that's going to be for 2018 out in the next few weeks.
Wow.
So exciting. I appreciate the time today.
Oh, anytime. I mean, I know you got everybody excited. By the way, in Orlando, where's the park that they're going to be playing this week?
Yeah, it's Austin Tindall Park, sports complex, about 15 minutes, 20 minutes south of Orlando International. We've got 5 full-size football fields going, and it'll be a good time. We'll have a lot of filmers out there. I've got 27 officials coming out.
Wow.
Certified officials. About 20 other personnel will be out there working the event. So
good stuff.
It'll be a big event.
Well, we're pulling for a great tournament. We're hoping for one of our guys locally to win. Obviously, you know how competitive they are. They'll not sleep if they don't bring home a title. So we've got to root them on. Thanks so much, Josh, for joining us. Best of luck this weekend, and keep in touch.
All right, great. Appreciate it, Larry. Thank you.
Good stuff. Josh Bourne from Pylon 7-on-7. That's going to be taking place in Orlando. We have all those teams. If you remember, over the last couple of weeks, all the coaches that we've had on, all the teams like South Florida Express and the Fire and Hard Knocks and all the teams like that, they'll be up there and representing and looking forward to that. Great show this evening. When we come back, Cameron Williams from Shaman Amadonna, class of 2019, one of the newest University of Miami commitments. He'll join us next.
Plus on your smartphone on the new radio.com app. Download it for free from the App Store or Google Play.
I made you look. You a slave to a page in my rhyme book. Getting big money. Playboy, your time's up. With them gangsters. With them dimes at. They shoot.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein with you up until 10 o'clock this evening. Thanks so much to Josh Bourne from Pylon 7-on-7 for joining us with the latest on this weekend's tournament. That'll be up in Orlando. And now we'll shift our gears back into high school football. Certainly with National Signing Day 2018 coming up, the 2018 class coming up. The focus soon will be towards 2019 for some of the fans. For the colleges, they've been at it a long time. And they've been I guess you have to do that now. You have to look way into the future. You kind of tie up, like we said, Miami's class for 2018 getting tied up over the next couple of weeks. But it's 2019 where the Hurricanes are looking, and certainly over the last week they picked up a huge commitment. Shaman Amadonna's Cameron Williams, definitely one of the top players around, and he joins us this evening. Cameron, thanks so much for taking the time.
Good evening, Lou.
I know that you are just a junior, but and this is a lot to take in because you just probably got out of middle school 2 years ago, but you're headed to college, and it's going to come up pretty quick. And the reality kind of hit this last week when you committed to the University of Miami to stay home. Talk about that, and talk about, I mean, this is all going pretty quick.
Yeah, it is, man. Actually, I can't wait. I'm very excited.
And I mean, you've been through a couple of good years of football, good years of education. What was kind of the determining factor? I know originally that you had committed to Florida, but you know, to stay home, I had read that you've always liked the Hurricanes. You've always liked, you know, wanting to stay home. What was kind of the determining factor of you kind of switching your mind?
Well, Saturday I took my family up there, and there was nothing but joy everywhere. They was like really the happiest. So I kind of did it for them. And I always grew up a Miami fan, so.
I mean, grew up a Miami. And you know what? Not to interrupt, but I mean this. I mean, obviously, your family is kind of biased because they want to keep you here and they want to be close to you and watch you and all that, which is great because everybody gets to do it. But you being a Hurricane fan from the beginning, I mean, because I remember when somebody told me that you had committed to Florida, and I said, well, I thought, you know, when I talked to you, I think at Nova, you had said, oh, I like Miami. And I was thinking, I was kind of confused, but now it comes like into focus. The advantages of being here, probably the biggest advantage coming off a state championship and looking for another one is to get that out of the way. I mean, most guys are going to be over the next year wondering where they're going to go, going on visits. You pretty much have where you're going to go. That's got to be something for you, Cameron, that's probably going to put you at ease a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's very big for me.
And you also have the opportunity to, you know, to go to a school that's a tremendous academic school. I mean, there's people all over the world that went to school there for, you know, just went to school, didn't play sports. So it's a great foundation, you know, from an educational standpoint. Talk about your decision. I know that you wanted to make it before, you know, things kind of got hectic, because you know how it is, especially somebody of your caliber. A lot of people are always looking in your direction. Was it something that you discussed with your family beforehand, you know, as far as where you wanted to go, or was this something that they kind of left up to you to explore?
It was something that they left up to me to explore.
Okay.
They'd have been happy with wherever I picked, but I seen that I took them to the campus Saturday, and they're like, they enjoyed everything.
Yeah.
And my dad is a UM fan too, so I had to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
UM family.
That's great. I mean, and then, but, you know, also the fact that you're bringing them down there to see a school, and a lot of people who hadn't been down there before always think, wow, Miami's just huge. And it's not. It's not that big. It's a, you know, it's kind of a, you know, a school that's just some couple, about a mile or so around. And it's, I like that. I mean, you know, so you're, it's kind of like a lot more comfortable for you. And, but yet you play big time football. It's a big time school. And I'm sure your parents are extremely proud of you. As we're speaking with Cameron Williams, Chaminade Madonna, University of Miami commitment, coming off a state championship, that's huge. You know, I mean, it's huge not only for this team, but all the teams in the past and alumni from the school. But you guys aren't finished. This is a huge offseason coming up. You have a lot of talent. Talk about that as well. I mean, as you look for your senior year.
Oh, yeah, we're going back. We're going back to back.
Yeah.
No question. We're going back to back. We came back. We're coming back harder than ever.
Yeah. And you look at a coach like Damian Jones, Coach Jones. He's a guy who's coached a lot of high level players throughout the years. He knows exactly what he's doing. He runs a tight ship, a very disciplined ship. Look, let's take a look back at this year and how much you've learned. Just over this last year, from progression. Obviously, you grew up from you're going to grow up mentally anyway. But talk about from a football standpoint and how much you learned from the first day you walked on campus to now.
When I first started, I didn't really know much. But Coach Jones, he really pushed me to, like, I'm not the best I can be, but he still pushed me as time is going on.
Right.
But, yeah, he taught me so much about the game. There's some stuff I didn't know at my old school, but he put me on a lot of new, brand new stuff.
Right. And I watched you. I was about to, because you guys played in the afternoon, which is going to change, it looks like. I saw those lights. That's been a great advantage over the years for Chaminade to get those guys in there at 4 o'clock in the heat. But certainly it'll be a good time, and at least you get a chance to take part of it. And winning a state championship and getting an opportunity to do it again must be exciting for you. And I know this is going to be busy off season for you, working out and all. And the one thing I was going to tell you that part of you getting better was if you look on the offensive line that you guys had last year with Hawkins and players like that, they grew you up pretty quickly, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you take a look at it, I mean, they showed you things that maybe you didn't see, you know, from other programs. And because I watched you got better and better and more confident. And I know everybody's looking for some big things out of you. But I appreciate it, Cameron, for you taking some time. Congratulations on the commitment. We'll be watching you. And I know the University of Miami fans are getting a really good one.
Thank you, man.
Anytime, man. Cameron Williams, Chaminade Madonna on his way to University of Miami. Kid's a very talented player. And like I said, he's just at the beginning of his football education, because he's going to get a lot more this year. He's got another year to go. And then when he gets to school, I mean, because he's already tall enough, he'll fill out. He'll get in that weight room, elite, and before you see him, he'll be like 260. I mean, that's how they do it. I mean, they're going to get you in there, and they're going to maximize everything that they possibly can. Speaking about that, maximizing everything they possibly can, for a long time now, Sly Johnson has been getting it done through Premier Athletes. He's been changing lives of these young men and their families. I mean, pointing them in the right direction, teaching them things, not just on the football field, but life things. Really good guy, and he's really close with all the people. He joins us this evening. Sly, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, Larry.
Anytime. You know, you and I, every year, I think we talk weekly, but I mean, but in between that, we look back at some of these kids that started out when you'll remind me, go, don't you remember when that kid was 9 or 10? And now, yeah, and you do that all the time. They all come to you, obviously, because of your reputation, and you've been down here, and you're a local guy, and I know you're a passionate guy, and you'll enjoy doing it, but talk about that, about how you started giving back and doing your own businesses and things like that. Talk about that and your passion for the game.
I started with this one kid. His name's Daniel Braverman. He plays for the Chiefs now. and he was, I believe, 11U at WPCO.
Yep.
He did rather well that year. And after the season, he said that some of his friends wanted to learn the new stuff he learned. And I said, oh, okay, well, we'll meet here next week. And that's how the camp started. That was about, he's 24 now, so it's like 13 years ago.
And it's grown to the point where you do it pretty much other than during the season, because it's kind of tough, but you do it in the off season religiously, Saturday, Sundays. And right. It's something that you're from 4 to 18. I mean, I've seen the little 5-year-old kids out there with pretty decent arms on them. But it's something that you've started where you get these kids and teach them, as we talk, just a way to play the positions the right way. And that's something they don't ever get. And explain that, because most people go, well, what is Sly, a condition guy? No, he doesn't care if you can run, you can. You just got to maximize what you have.
No, I don't do speed and agility. I don't do strength or conditioning. I just do specific skill set training for each player.
Right.
So quarterback will learn the 3-step drop, 3-and-a-gather, 5-step, 5-and-a-gather. They'll learn how to roll out and throw. Why are they throwing this throw? Who's going to be open against this coverage with this look? Defenders. We teach them what the quarterbacks are looking for, the tendencies that they have and that we have, and how to use those tendencies to create plays. The rules of football, how to use those against the opponent, the rules that he's held accountable for, like a simple concept like cover two.
Right.
The cornerback is not allowed to let the defender outside of the cover two. So if you want to widen him, just run at his outside, he'll widen. So there's simple concepts that are maybe not common knowledge, but we teach the kids that early, and they're able to excel.
And as they get bigger and stronger and faster, everything comes into play, and they already have the knowledge from the technique that you've taught them. And it all comes in. We see it every year. We see these kids all the time. I think the best story that I could tell about you is when you have all these kids that you teach and that you work with, and then they all go to a combine, and then you always tell them, don't go against each other. I always remember you telling them, you go, don't go against each other. Go against somebody else.
Let's figure it out now.
Yeah.
Well, I try to, if, for lack of a better term, exercise our skills on other people.
Sure. You know? Sure. Well,
they bite at each other all the time. So when we're out in public and everyone else is watching, why not go against the other people? It works better against them.
No, I know, as we're talking to Sly Johnson, premier athletes, and you know what, you take and look at all the guys that we've seen, all the kids that we've seen over the years, and that's what I'm saying. You, on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, as you're with your kids, I'm sure you're very busy watching that TV, because most of those games on or have players, especially like Duke and South Carolina and all these programs that have players that you started out. Talk about what that feels like, because that's got to be something special as well. I mean, we know Daniel Braverman playing and getting drafted and playing with the Bears now with Kansas City was huge, but you've got a whole bunch of kids.
Yes, we do. We got other players in the NFL, I believe, like 6 right now presently. Anthony Walker, Rashad Robinson, Wilson, Isaiah McKenzie. We left 5. And we have a bunch of like major Division I players, FCS players, Division II players, Division III players, Ivy League kids. That's probably what we're most proud of.
Yes.
We have guys that play in the CFL right now, like Gary Kings and Antoine Tharp. Remember Antoine?
Yeah, I do. Wow. There's a name from the past.
Yeah, I still deal with those guys. So, like, on a Saturday, I'll get text messages from the parents or, from the siblings. Or it's cool because a lot of the kids that are playing now are siblings from other kids.
Right.
Like Anthony Flory. That's Andrew Flory's little brother.
Wow.
Right. Like Xavier Reshepo is doing well in high school. That's Christian's little nephew.
Yeah.
And Majon Wright, Daniel's little brother.
And Major's little brother. So that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you get that little. You get that little pipeline of family that kind of like comes together, and you get all these guys. I remember when we first started, or when you first started, and I went to your events, and all the guys that you had out there. I mean, high level talent. I mean, kids wanting to get better, and they have, and it's proof. I mean, when we had that National Signing Day event that year, and you came, I think, with your parents and all that stuff, and you saw all those talented kids that came out, and a lot of them were your products.
Right. I think that was 14 or something. We had like 17 kids.
Jeez.
That was a big year.
Yeah, it was.
I think we have a dozen this year. Did pretty well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and you talk about Anthony Walker. I mean, here's a guy. If everybody could be Anthony Walker. As a person, as an athlete, as a student who, like you said, could have taken the easy way and gone to a school, but he went to Northwestern and got a premier education, and that's what you were just talking about, academic-wise. I mean, a lot of these kids who work with you have gone on to Ivy League schools, and we know most of them won't play football past their senior year in college, but look at what they will become by going to a school like that.
Oh, man, they're getting good jobs right now.
Yeah.
You remember some of the Miramar kids, they're doing well.
Yeah.
In regular lives. One of them just bought a house, 25, that's good. So those are the things we're most proud of.
Yeah, no doubt.
And we're starting over with some of the young kids, like Nick Vietato is doing well now at U School.
Yeah.
Along with TJ Smith over at South Robert. I think he's making moves.
Going to Delray Heritage, I think, yeah. I think that's the last thing that I saw, but at least you have those type of players. And you talk about Nick Vadiato. I mean, he started out as a little guy with you, and now he's grown up. He was a freshman this year at U School, as you said, and had a couple of games where he played and did very well.
Yes, he did. Dayton McGrove is also in that age group.
He's American Heritage, one of the up and coming defensive backs around.
Yes, we're doing good with the young kids.
Yeah, you are. And St. Thomas has a couple of the kids that you've worked with, and we point out one of them last year in Isaiah Moore. I mean, there's a kid who I'm still waiting. When he reaches his potential, it's going to be the bells are going to go off because this kid's, and you and I have been singing his praises a long time, you more so, but he has an opportunity at Mississippi, Ole Miss, to do some great things.
Yes. Elijah's been with us since, like, Davey Ockman, I believe, Davey Little League.
Yeah,
he's going to do well at Ole Miss.
As we're speaking with Sly Johnson, premier athletes, he works with, like we said, from the kids when they're 4 and 5 years old. The parents, his reputation precedes them. The parents get him to those workouts. Or usually, where are you having them these days? Cardinal Gibbons still or no?
They had their facility done, so we've been at Chaminade as of late. Like the last 6 weeks, we've been at Chaminade with Don on Sundays.
Okay, that's pretty good. And then so you're out there, and if anybody wants to get an opportunity to come learn a little bit, parents, if you're out there and your kids need some real instruction, I mean, this isn't lifting weights and running. This is learning how to play the game. Tell them how to get in touch with you.
On Facebook, I'm Sly Johnson. On Twitter, I'm at SlyJohnson3. On IG, we're Premier Athletes. And, my contact information is on all three.
And you will go down as, top three of all time at the Combine Fastest 40?
My pro day, at least. I tore my ACL and did okay at the Combine, not like I wanted to. And that's another thing. We're trying to get the kids ready for things like Combine.
Yeah.
Like Christian Blake.
Yeah.
And Albert decided to stay. Some of the kids that are coming out, we're trying to make sure that we're the total package so far.
Good stuff.
All the way through the entire process.
I know you do an awesome job, Sly. We come out there as much as we can to support you.
Thank you. That's much appreciated.
You know, and definitely because we like to see those young kids so we could say, hey, you know, we saw them when they were young. And you certainly get a lot of good kids out there. And no short of talent in South Florida. Again, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Sly Johnson, Premier Athletes. Good all around, great guy. I'll tell you, he does a lot of good stuff and teaches those kids a lot. I mean, if you look and like he rattled off a bunch of names that are playing you know, they had the athleticism, but they didn't have the technique, and that's what he teaches them. And the very important part, when we, for you FSU fans, get around it, get near that radio, because you're going to want to check out our final segment. Chris Knee is going to talk about the Noles and how they figure to close coming up about 15, 16 days away from National Signing Day. It's going to be exciting. Chris Knee will close out our show for a beautiful Monday.
Here on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved two blocks south of their old location. Get there now.
Double up, we don't play around, it's a bet laid down. Cause they didn't know me 91, bet they know me now. I'm the young Harlem.
Back to wrap things up with you on a South Florida High School Sports Monday evening. Thanks so much to Sly Johnson from Premier Athletes, Cameron Williams from Shaman Amadana, who will be on his way to his senior season. And then, well, right now, you never know how things change in a year, but he's committed to Miami as of a couple of days ago. Seems pretty much, you know, one of those guys who is going to stick with it. But you never know. Like I said, there's a we haven't even really come to this one yet. It's in 2 weeks. So we'll let you know how 2019 plays out. But, you know, last I think we talked to Chris Knee about a month ago. It was just when the coaching change took over. It really wasn't fair. They really couldn't really participate in the early signing period because none of the athletes really knew a lot of the coaching staff. But they do now. Things have changed. We're 16 days away. Chris Knee joins us again. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Blue.
Anything, last time I got off the phone or we got off with you and I said, you know, it's not really fair. I mean, what the heck? I mean, the guy's been in town for 5 days. He didn't have any coaches at all, maybe one or two. And now things about a month later are a little bit different. Everything's kind of settling in. He's getting all types of great endorsements. Coaches are out there scouring the ones that he has in place, and things look a lot better now.
Yeah, I mean, today was probably truly the first day that the entire staff, the new staff, which has filled out all 10 coaches, was on the road, pounding the pavement, getting the job done. It's been kind of a slow trickle of getting more and more bodies out there to recruit for FSU.
Yeah, but you know what, too? When you look at Florida State, it's not like, you know, it's an upstart program. This train's been rolling at a high speed for a long time. So it's a matter of tweaking a few things, you know, to get that ship back. And because you look at the talent, you see it all the time. You look at the depth they've had over the years that Jimbo built up, and certainly they got to plug into some good kids over the next couple of weeks. But I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, the logo sells it a lot for them. It's easy for them to kind of get in with kids and at least have a conversation. The main focus for this new staff down the stretch is about filling needs at positions that need some depth, need some help.
Right.
Wide receiver, defensive end, those are a couple examples of positions they're putting a lot of work in at.
I mean, they lost some pretty good kids, but everybody does. Usually, and you know that they've always been able to rebound, at least for the last decade plus, that, yeah, they may get knocked down a peg or two, but they're right back up with, you know, somebody new coming, you know, stepping up. Who do you look at this incoming freshman class? Because you know if a lot of these kids, you've watched them. Who do you think makes a pretty good impression in year one?
Well, I think Asante Samuel is a kid, even though he's coming into a really loaded secondary. He's a guy you just can't count out. He's such a dog. He's competitive.
Right.
He gets it done. Robert Cooper is a really big body D tackle. That's a need they have. He'll have to shed some weight and improve his conditioning, but he's kind of unique to the roster. So I think he has a shot early on to do something for them.
Was Robert
McDonald? Go ahead.
Not to interrupt, but was Robert Cooper the kid that they had? Was he an Under Armour kid last year as an underclassman that we saw he's a big kid.
Yeah, he's like, he weighed, I think, about 355 at the Under Armour game.
Yeah, yeah.
He probably needs to shed 20, 25 pounds.
Yeah.
But
I figured that was the guy.
Foot for as heavy as he is.
Yeah, he was huge. I mean, you can't get around that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's
go ahead.
He consumes the blockers and frees people up. And then, you know, they got a commitment from Cameron McDonald. He's a kind of a tweener receiver tight end type from Long Beach Poly.
Right.
I think he's a kid that's going to fit that new look offense very well. And they don't really have a whole lot of known talent at the tight end position. Trey McKitty's probably going to be a contributor next year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cam McDonald can kind of be the number two to Trey.
as a returning starter. Whit Ryan is a going pro. That position kind of up for grabs.
Any other players that maybe unexpectedly turn to the NFL that they didn't think would go?
Well, I think actually Patrick returning surprised them to some degree. Jack West Patrick coming back.
Right.
I think that was one they expected to lose. I think Auden Tate going into the ball game was somebody they thought would probably come back, but then he went out and caught 3 touchdowns, had a career day, and it kind of made sense for Auden. He's got a lot of skill and a lot of ability that's going to translate to the NFL level, so I don't think he necessarily needed about a year back. Ryan Izzo's departure, while his stats were never incredible, he's got a boatload of film. He's basically been a 2.5-year starter for them, played a lot of games, so Jalen Wilkerson was probably the most unexpected departure. I think there were some circumstances beyond the football field that influenced his decision to depart. He's got it's probably not going to be drafted, but, you know, maybe he latches on as an undrafted free agent type.
It could happen. Chris Neat joining us, does it all 247 with sports, with the Seminoles. And do you still do basketball, too, and everything, too? Or do you just go?
We'll do baseball. Baseball's about to start up practice here in the next week or so.
Wow.
This is in the middle of the ACC season. But, yeah, I can't do only recruiting. I think I'd lose my mind if only 4 months a year.
Well, I'll let you lose your mind in the next couple of minutes. I just wanted to see who you think that could be some surprise gets down the stretch as we come to that Wednesday, February 7th.
Well, they're working hard. A kid like Jalen Hall, talented wide receiver from out California, he was in for an official visit this past weekend. It's going to beat them or Oregon. For him, it's truly going to come down to distance. It's a battle FSU's fighting. They're going to go in-home again, I believe, tomorrow. And that's one, you know, if they're able to pull it in, that'll be 3 guys from Long Beach Poly in this class. All 3 were guys that weren't really on the radar before Willie got here.
Wow.
All 3 are guys that would be big additions. Cam McDonald, the tight end I spoke about, Hall, and then Jaden would be the safety they got right before the dead period started. So those are 3 nice additions that they've gotten. You know, over the next 2 weekends, they're going to bring in a lot of guys. Right now we have about 11 on the schedule. I think it's going to end up being more like 15, 16 that they bring in over the final 2 weekends. Some of the names in there, Joshua Moore, talented Texas wide receiver, kind of a recruitment that's tough to get the pulse of. I think right now Texas is trending a bit. They had him on campus this past weekend, but he's sort of a wild card. You get him on campus, you've got a shot. Jamarcus Chapman, a guy that's familiar to Miami listeners too. Talented big body, kind of tweener defensive end, defensive tackle, strong side guy. He's coming in here, I believe it's this weekend. Miami's getting him in. I really think it's going to be one of those two. He's a talented kid. He's a little bit, I think people have neglected him because of the measurements, but man, he plays his buns off. He's a kid that on the football field just gets it done. You know, he's got a high-end motor and he's a kid that plays really hard. He's a guy that FSU's been working real hard. And then I think they're going to go out west again and pull off Trayshawn Harrison. He's a really talented, versatile, 6'2" athlete. He's from Seattle, Washington. He's not going to stay in Washington. Again, another Oregon FSU battle. But FSU's done a really good job there, and he's a kid that is kind of tailor-made for what Willie wants to do with his wide receivers. You know, giving him the ball in a lot of different manners, allowing him to get in space. And he's the kid that's kind of made for that. And he's very receptive to FSU. And I don't think he's a kid that's obsessed with staying close to home.
And, you know, Chris – go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up.
The one other name I was definitely going to throw out is that quarterback. They're pursuing James Foster, talented kid from Montgomery, Lanier High School, 4-star, dual-threat type, A&M, Texas A&M, Alabama, FSU, LSU are kind of the main 4 with him. And things are trending in FSU's direction. Bama's focusing on a second quarterback that most people think they're going to get. LSU feels like FSU is the biggest contender for James. I don't think he goes to Texas A&M. I think he goes somewhere that's some reasonable driving distance for him. So he's a kid coming in the final visit weekend. I think FSU's got a real good shot of kind of bringing him in. And, you know, you always want to have a talented quarterback pretty much in every class. You never want to fall behind at that position.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll come back and bite you. You know, the thing I was going to say is that that's a good way that Taggart that he went about this recruiting class, because he knew that he didn't really have the relationships built in this area, but he did with the Long Beach Poly kids and a few others. So hey, you know what? It's happened before. I mean, it's not the first time that FSU's had West Coast kids help them. They've had running backs, they've had quarterbacks, they've had a a lot of things from the West Coast. So I think that's important, at least for year one, and then he'll concentrate now with a lot of the coaches that he has to really make some relationships in the entire state of Florida and the Southeast.
Yeah, I thought it was intelligent in the sense of they understood what relationships could pay off for him down the stretch. And they were also smart about only pursuing kids that they had kind of a legitimate shot at. They didn't just go after everybody they had on their board at Oregon, because some of those guys have no interest.
No.
So they kind of made sure if they were going to pursue somebody and invest time in it, that they would at least have a puncher's chance down the stretch.
Good stuff. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. If everybody wants to follow you over the next couple weeks and beyond, how do they do it?
On Twitter, they can follow my personal account. That's CNEE247, or our company account.
Oops. And that's Chris. I think I took him off before. It's at Knowles247. Do you have that? At Knowles247? Good stuff.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.